the owner of the shop. She'd been a widow for nearly a decade and always kept the shop stocked with carefully crafted homemade potions. She'd run the place single-handedly, but never hesitated to stop and answer my questions when I was first learning the process of making custom potions. I hadn't thought about her in quite some time, but suddenly missed her as I stared inside her abandoned shop. "Holly!" I whirled around at Anastasia's voice and saw the pretty brunette running delicately in her impossibly high stiletto boots. I liked nice shoes as much as the next witch, but I honestly had no idea how Anastasia made it through the day without breaking both of her ankles. She leapt up onto the sidewalk and grabbed me in a tight embrace. "I can't believe you're here," she said, into my long auburn hair as it whipped through the wind. I smiled, and I didn't even have to wear a disguise. She laughed, the sound melodic, like a tinkling wind chime. When she pulled away, she kept her hands on my arms. We'd spoken on the phone many times since my banishment and met for lunch a couple of times in Seattle proper, but the visits had been few and far between. Seattle was over 3 hours away from Beechwood Harbor, so visits usually involved a long train ride and a hotel for the night. Anastasia had officially moved inside the Haven following her big promotion at work, and my banishment prevented me from staying on her pull-out couch. At first, I'd tried to use my Larkspur necklace, but found, after several uncomfortable attempts, that it only allowed me to jump short distances.
"How are you?"
Anastasia asked, finally releasing me.
"How does it feel to be back?"
"It's kind of weird," I replied. "In Beechwood Harbor, there's a certain charge in the air, I think from the ocean. My magic responds to it. But here, all the magic energy feels like a collision. I'm not used to it anymore." Anastasia flapped a hand.
"I'm sure you'll settle right back in."
"Well, I don't know if I should get too comfortable. After all, I'm not sure how long I'll be allowed to stay." Reminded of the vacant potion shop, I craned around and hitched my thumb. "Although that's new, what happened?" Anastasia looked troubled, and she linked her arm through mine.
"Come on, let's go order some lunch. It's freezing out here. You'd think with all the magic housed within this haven, we could at least work out how to keep the weather at a stable 75.
I frowned at her sudden change of topic, but let her steer me through Finnegan's doors. The owner, Walter Finnegan, greeted us warmly, and for a moment I forgot all about the shop next door. We were promptly seated at a table with a window, and without consulting the menu, ordered two huge cauldrons of soup. While we waited, the owner brought out a still steaming loaf of bread with a thick crust, and we both dug in.
"Tell me about work. Still loving it?" I asked,
unsure if I should ask about Mrs. Claremont's shop again. Anastasia nodded, her mouth full of bread. I smiled and dragged my chunk through the basil-infused olive oil.
"That's good to hear."
She wiped her fingers off on a linen napkin and then dabbed at her mouth.
"It's been wonderful so far. Planning weddings, especially ones where I can kind of go a little crazy with magic, is so much more fun than birthday parties and retirement shindigs."
I laughed.
"I'll bet. My calendar is booked for the next 18 months. Solid."
A wide smile crossed her face as she leaned in slightly.
"However, I could definitely squeeze you and Adam in."
I choked on a mouthful of bread and quickly reached for my water glass. Shaking my head vigorously, I replied,
"No chance of that, at least not in that time frame."
Anastasia pursed her lips.
"Why not? I could do so much with your big day."
I smiled politely.
"Stace, I hate to break it to you, but that's not a super convincing reason to rush into marriage."
"Why not?" I arched a brow.
"Are you serious? You actually need me to spell that argument out for you?"
She held her pout for another moment and then waved it off with a flick of her wrist.
"Fine, fine. But I reserve the right to at least a 6-month lead up when it happens."
"When" was more like "if." But I wasn't going to argue semantics with her over lunch. Walter personally brought out our meals, and I smiled gratefully, both for the soup and the timely interruption. Once we assured him the food was to our liking, he bowed out and went back to the kitchen. The small dining room was full of late-lunch patrons, and the steam from all the soup made the air thick and